Okay, everybody else drop all set.
Oh well, same as well. Okay. I want to combine three things into one kind of thing. First of all, as you know, Hanukkah is coming up, Bezrat Hashem, so I want to touch that. And the theme that I was trying to find a shiur on, and I found something has to do that Hanukkah was given, as we say at the end of Al Hanisim, Lehodot ulehalel leshimcha agodol. That Hanukkah was given to Lehodot is, let's say, to thank. Lehalel is to praise. And if we light Hanukkah candles, and you can do with all the hidurim in the world of using the best olive oil and wicks, and you light at a specific time, and you know in Yerushalayim we light outside. It's according to the Gemara that you should light outside. And you can do all of that, but if you don't think what you're supposed to think, then the action is gewaldic, but the heart's not there, and it's not even a fraction of the action that's supposed to be done. It has to come with heart. What made me dafka think of that thing to work on the Hanukkah Bezrat Hashem is because, as you all know, Chel is Kale, and there's a tremendous amount of thank that has to come because of it. And what woke me up is, I'm going to talk about it now. I'm going to start off with something very interesting in the parsha. It says that Yosef, we all know, was sold down to Mitzrayim, and it was something for Yosef, the most tremendous, tremendous hardship. He was a young boy, and his brothers first wanted to kill him, and then they threw him into a pit. And then he was sold for a cheap price, and he was included in the oath that he's not allowed to tell his father that he's alive and where he is. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was included in this oath of the brothers, and Yosef was included. So for 12 years, he was in prison, as we know, and going down and down, the most tremendous nisayon of a woman who tried to seduce him is a nisayon that probably nobody alive today could have ever withstood. And a young boy not knowing whether he's ever going to see his parents again and Yiddishkeit again somehow withstood that. And the Gemara says, why did he have to go through that? Obviously, one of the reasons, you can't say it's the only reason, but one of the reasons was because the Godless had to start from Mitzrayim. And Yaakov Avinu had to go down with his brothers to Mitzrayim. And the way to start off a Godless would normally be that you take the captives in chains, like it happened with Godless Bovel, or any Godless, and drag him down to Mitzrayim, but that's not covered for Yaakov Avinu. So Yosef had to go down, become the vice king, and then when Yaakov is eventually told to come to Mitzrayim because of Yosef, so he comes down with all the due honor that Yaakov should get. So Yosef, as if had to suffer all this incredible suffering so that Yaakov Avinu could go down to Mitzrayim in COVID. And the question that one asks, or maybe Yosef asked it, because my father has to go down in COVID, I've got to suffer these 12 years in Mitzrayim and be cut off from my family in the most tremendous solace. It's not fair. And we find other places in Chazal, by David HaMelech, for example, with the chait or not chait of Bathsheba, that he didn't have to go through that. People could learn from him and all kinds of things where tzaddikim gedolim suffered tremendous suffering so that other people can learn from them. And the question that one asks is, okay, very nice, you want people to learn from me. Why do I have to suffer for that? So the truth is, there's a Gemara, there's a beautiful Gemara that asks, there was a very cruel Roman ruler by the name of Tonus Rufus He was one of the people that destroyed the Chum, the Beis Hamikdash. And he killed lots of Yidden. And he asked Rabbi Akiva, and he said to Rabbi Akiva, if your God loves Anim, so if he loves Anim, why doesn't he feed them? Why doesn't he give them parnasa? Why does he leave it for them to suffer? So Rabbi Akiva answered, in order that we shall be saved from the din of Gehenna. And Tana Sarafis answered, but that's exactly the reason why people that do give them should be punished, because he gives a marshal. If a king has a servant, and he puts the servant in prison, and he gives an order, do not feed the prisoners, no food, no drink, and someone comes on the side and feeds them, so obviously the king is going to punish him. So here too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that certain people will be aniim, which means that they need to suffer. How dare you come and give them? So Rabbi Akiva answered, because what would be if the king would tell his son to be, the people to imprison his son because his son misbehaved? And he said, do not feed my son. And somebody comes on the side and feeds the son, the prince. So will the king give him a gift? Of course he will, because it's his son. Just that he has to be cruel, but on the side, if somebody would benefit the son, of course the king would be happy. And we're called Bonim. So Thomas Rothes said, no, you're called Bonim and you're called Avodim. And when you don't do the Rotzen of Hashem, you're called Avodim, which means in the Golus, for example, when because Rabbi Akiva was in the time of the Churban, and you're called Avodim, you don't do Rotzen Hashem now, so you're thrown out. So how can you say that? So Rabbi Akiva answered that there is another pasuk that says, "Aniyim merudim tavi bayit," which means very poor people you should bring to your home, and that's alluding to Yidden in Golos that were thrown out, or to poor people that don't have. And then the pasuk continues, "Halo faros la'ev lachmecha," which means you must give them bread. So you see that the poor person, even though he's thrown out, which is as if he, even though he wasn't behaving, nevertheless, you still feed them. Or another way to understand it is that we always call Bonim. There's another Gemara that we always call Bonim. Nachon Rav Akiva, there's an opinion that says, sorry, that you called Avodim and Bonim. There's another Gemara that says we always call Bonim even though we misbehave. So basically, it comes down, boils down to it. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made people aniim so that people, other people will be able to feed them and through that get to Gan Eden. And the poor aniim can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair. I have to suffer my entire life as an oni so that people can feed me and so that they'll get to Gan Eden. Why must I be the korban? And Rabbi Yankel Galinsky brings that there were many tzaddikim in the Gemara who had nothing mamish, and they were tzaddikim. So why were they the korban? And to make a long story short, he says that a person must realize that he's in this world to help other people and to be there for other people. And he brings from the Chaim Volozhin saying that if a person wouldn't know, sorry, a person, early in the morning, a person, it's worthwhile his entire life to live in poverty or to do certain things so that other people can learn and gain from him. Why? Because we're not created for ourselves. We're not born here to be worrying and looking after ourselves. It's a very frightening thing that it means that we're in positions to help people. And very often we're in a place where we can help people, and we don't, and we are not living up to the purpose that we were born, or that we were brought to this world. Obviously, a person has to look after himself and be healthy and happy and hearty, otherwise he can't help others. But once that's taken care of, then we see from this chazal that there's no end to how much a person has to help other people, to the point that it's worthwhile being poor an entire lifetime, so that other people can give the poor person parnasa, so that they will get to Gan Eden because of him. If you think of it, Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik had to go through the most incredible hardships as a young boy so that his father and brothers could come down in comfort to Mitzrayim. Yosef did not complain and say, hey, where's justice? That's not fair. I don't know what. Do find some other system. And Yosef said to them, the brothers, when they apologized in a certain way, he said, "Lemichya shlachani Hashem. Hashem sent me down to give you food, so that because otherwise there was a famine in Israel. Who would feed you?" So not only did he resent what had happened to him, he took it that that's the purpose of his life, is to help other people. On Shabbos, I was sitting at a kiddush, and somebody said the following. It's mind-boggling. Yosef HaTzadik was in prison 10 years. And then there was a turnabout at a certain point where he started climbing and started getting famous, and eventually he was pulled out of the prison and made Zagan, the viceroy of the whole of Mitzrayim, which was the kingdom of the world. What was the turning point? So he was in prison, and in the morning he saw the Sar HaOifim and Sar HaMashkim, and they looked terrible. They had a bad mood. And why? Because they had a dream and they didn't know the interpretation. So Yosef looked at them and he said, what's the matter? You don't look happy. Tell me your problems. And then they told him the dreams, and he interpreted it, and he eventually got out of prison because of it. But what was the turning point? That he looked at them and he said, what's your problem? Now, Yosef was in prison. What do you mean, what's your problem? I don't have to look at anybody. I'm suffering 10 years in prison for nothing. I didn't do anything with this woman. And she blamed me that I did. My brothers, I didn't do anything, and they sold me. What do you mean? I have to look at other people and care for other people and how they're feeling? Forget it. I'm the one that needs to be looked after because I did nothing wrong. And Yosef got out of his shell, and he looked towards other people, and he asked them, what's the problem? Tell me your problem. Again, it's the same Nakuda, that he helped other people. He looked towards other people, and through that, his entire Yeshua came. Why? Because that's what we're here for. We're here to help other people. Okay, very nice. Here to help other people. In the meantime, I'm suffering. In the meantime, there's pain. And why do I have to go through the suffering? So let's go to the other section that I want to touch upon. And it says that when Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, so the camels were Arab-owned, and these were Arabs that were selling spices. And Rashi says that this was a nace, because usually Arabs sell very foul-smelling stuff, like oil and other horrible things. And here, the Chavod Yosef, they were selling spices. So when Yosef was going down to Mitzrayim, he was smelling spices, which was nice for Yosef. And the kasha is that Yosef is now as if going to be hung. And on the way to being hung, so he is riding in a fancy chariot, and he's telling everybody, be jealous of me, look at the fancy chariot I'm driving in. Nobody's jealous of you, Yosef. Everybody is looking at you with crying because you're going to be hung in Mitzrayim, as if you're being sold. God knows when you're going to get out of there and whenever you're going to see your family again. So you're happy with the spices. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz answers that everything has a cheshbon. Yosef had to be sold down to Mitzrayim for whatever reason in the world, but he didn't have to suffer on the way down. Every accountable, everything that we go through is held account. Every ounce of suffering, every ounce of pain is a cheshbon. To the point that the Gemara asks, what do you call suffering? What is suffering? Or let me put it in a different way. Again, this is because Baruch Hashem, Cheli Zekale, and I hope she never hears this, but Cheli, she knows what I think, though. But Cheli is 23 last month, and in Eretz Yisrael that's called definitely old by many standards. And she met many guys. I'm not going to tell you now how many because that's not fair. But she met a lot of boys. And all her friends except one or two are married, and She was a Madricha in Lahav, and all three other Madrichot were already engaged or married, and she was the only one that wasn't. And it wasn't an easy period. And those of you that know Chely know that she's very connected to Ruchnius, and she's a spiritual girl. And she had brachas from many Gdolim, from Rav Eliashiv, and from many Gdolim. And it wasn't happening. And you can kind of question and ask, well, no, so where are the brachas, where are the tefillahs, what's happening? And Santa Dishmaya, that we look back, this particular shidduch was suggested 2 years ago, and for whatever reason, we didn't like it or it didn't work. And when I came back, we realized why then wasn't the best time for it to happen. And when you look back, and I, girls, I'm not saying this because I want to cover up for anything or to feel good about anything. It's the MS that the time was now and couldn't have been before. And Chely needed to go through what she went through, even though she doesn't understand everything, but she needed to, in order to be ready for the Shidduch. And putting it in simple terms, that every account of suffering, you want to call it that, because it is, and uncertainties and fakeness and everything, I can say it on myself, are out of place, because there's a cheshbon for everything, why it had to be done. When the Gemara asks, what is the extent of suffering? The Gemara answers that you bought a dress and you put it on and you thought it fits you size-wise, and you come home and you're wearing it and it's tight or it's too loose, and you got this tzar. And the Gemara said that's called Yisurim. In other words, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to have those Yisurim because that's what he decided is what's good for you at the moment. And then the Gemara says, yeah, but that's too much. That's obviously that's called Yisurim. That's Poshut. That's a big thing. What are smaller things that are small, and yet they also call Yisurim? And the Gemara says, what's Yisurim? Well, you made yourself a coffee, and it was supposed to be a hot coffee, and it ends up being cold, either because, I don't know, you thought the water was boiled, or because you got a phone call in between, and you had to deal with it, and you got back, and your coffee was cold. So you think to yourself, ach, wish my coffee cooled down. And you don't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to go through that. Why couldn't he make the phone call come after you had your coffee or 10 minutes before your coffee? And the reason was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to have a cold coffee and be stuck. And you wanted a hot one. And that's called Yisurim. And every time a person gets something like that, he is being awarded something. He's being cleaned. He's being tested. He's being put in a position, come and daven to me more. I want to hear your voice. I want you to look towards me. Rav Yaakov Galinsky brings an incredible story where a certain Yid went over to a Rebbe called Reb Nota from the town of Chelem. And he said to him, Rebbe, I need a bracha. And the Rebbe asked him, what do you need a bracha for, health? And he said, no, Baruch Hashem, health's good. He said, you need a bracha for parnos? He said, no, Baruch Hashem, my parnos is good. Well, maybe Shalom Bais. He says, ah, Levi, all you didn't have my Shalom Bais. So he said to him, so what do you want the bracha for? You have everything. He said, Rebbe, I know I'm not a tzaddik. I know I'm not a tzaddik. And if I've got so much good, it means the Kodesh Baruch Hu is paying me in my lifetime, all my mitzvahs. I don't want that. I want the bracha that I'll have, Olam Habo. So, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky says, you see what Bob didn't want upon a time? So then he says to him, you don't have to worry. Why? He said, because you got glasses. He said, what? What has that got to do with anything? He said, because glasses, sometimes you lose them, you can't find them, they get scratched, they get broken, you have to get new ones. Those are Yisurim. You have Yisurim, you've got Olam Haba. Your Yisurim are cleaning you from your Averis, and you're not getting your Olam Haza in this world, your Olam Haba in this world. So Yisurim mean that you have something that's uncomfortable. You have to look at it as Yisurim and accept it that it's a matona from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an incredible way to go through life. When as we said before, when as aniim suffer, or not on that grand scale of somebody living his entire life in abject poverty, that other people can get wealthy, can get Gan Eden, even if a person Chas v'shalom does live that kind of life, what is he supposed to think? That this is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and there's a reason for it. And you take it to a higher level. There's a reason so that other people can gain from me. If I'm telling you now that somebody went through a hard, let's say, not hard, but a long shidduchim period, which is not easy, as many of you know, there's a reason why you're going through that. And the reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to get those Yisurim. Some people get a shidduch, the first date, first guy they're going out with, 3 dates, 5 dates, boom, they're gone. And it's chaotic. And some people know they've got sometimes the low dates, and the dates that they're being offered are disgusting, and they become not in the ballpark, and all kinds of things. What I'm not giving Muslim because I can't tell you this is what you should think. But what should we think when we go through things that don't fit our understanding? Hey, come on, God, don't you see that I want something on this and this way and this and this level? Why can't you give it to me? Don't you love me? So we daven a few times and it doesn't work the way we want and we get all upset. Because Baruch Hu knows what you want. But he wants us to go through certain things without us understanding exactly why, but that we don't have to understand why. We just have to know, I need the suffering for whatever reason. I need to go through this pain, and I need to accept it like that. Because Baruch Hu wants me to go through it. I have to daven my heart out to get out of it and to improve my situation. And I need to daven for other people. And if in the end I get a shidduch, then other people can learn from me. I need to go through that for whatever reason so that they'll have bitochen, that theirs will also come. So it was worthwhile for me to go through something so that other people can learn from me and have bitochen. So that's worthwhile, according to what we just learned. Because I'm there to teach other people, I'm there to give other people, that's what I'm alive for. So, Yisurim are something that are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to an exact measurement. Rachel Imenu suffered tremendously. Her husband was stolen from beneath her mamish, and it came to a point when she must have asked, what did I give the simonim for? I'm crazy for having given the simonim to my sister Leah so that she could marry Yaakov and not be embarrassed, but look what happened to me. Eventually, Nachon Yaakov took me. Leah already has 4 children. Then she gives her servant, Bilha, and she has 2 children. And then Leah gives her servant, Zilpah, and has 2 children. So that's already 8. Where am I going to get children? I want children. Eventually it says, Vayizkor Elokim es Rachel. Because Baruch Hu remembered Rachel, and Rashi says the simonim that she gave, and he says, right, she needs to get a child. And she had Yosef, and she had Binyamin. In the meantime, Leah had another 2. What was Rachel thinking? We don't ever find that Rachel said, because Baruch Hu, you're unfair, you're unjust. We don't find that. We find that she wants, because she wants to be part of the Shvatim. She wants her children to be part of the Shivtei Koh. Eventually, she got Yosef, who's compared in ways out to be more powerful than many of the other Shvatim. But the whole time she didn't rebel and say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're unjust. We don't find that in Chumash. Chumash is very exact. She knew she's going through something. She cried her heart out. She said to Yaakov, if you don't have give me children, I'm as if I'm dead, because a woman without children is as if she's dead. But she didn't say, where's God? She didn't say, this isn't fair. It's a tremendous limud for us that even if we're going through a hard time with whatever we're going through, we must realize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is medaktik. There's a reason. There's a reason. He wants us to daven. He wants others to learn from us. Others, that we should be an example of what it means to accept. And others can learn. And that's not fair. I must be someone to call. And yeah, it's worthwhile for that. Because other people are growing from you. That's the biggest gift you can give to other people. So where does Hanukkah come in? Hanukkah comes in. When things go good, we all know this. I think who says this? I learned it yesterday with someone. When things go well, when things go our way, we often attribute it to us, to ourselves, either to my wisdom, my plans, my luck. Ribbono Shel Olam, I will say Baruch Hashem a few times and mention him, but deep down inside, am I totally enwrapped in his Yeshua? Not always.
And when it comes to Tzoras, Lo Aleinu, then we tend to Hashem, and either we complain, or we know sometimes that it can only come from Him, so we tend to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the entire Ness of Chanukah, girls, is not so much the Shemen. The war was a tremendous war. It was Giboyim B'yad Chaloshim V'Rabim B'yad Me'atim. And the war was a war that through nature would not have, it could not have been won, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped the Chashmonoim because they were Moisa Nefesh for Yiddishkeit. They knew that if they do not, as if give up their lives to save Klal Yisrael, there's not going to be Torah left. The Greeks were very powerful and overtaking everything. So they were Moisa Nefesh, and then they won the war against all odds, against incredibly mighty armies. But people could make a mistake and attribute the Nitzachon to their power and strength of the Chashmonoim, which was incredible. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Ness of Shemen, which is also through Mesiras Nefesh, by the way, because they looked for Shemen Tahor, and they wanted to show that we're only doing things in the highest level of Tahara. They didn't have to, but there's no time now to explain that. And they found a Pach Shemen, and they lit and did whatever they could, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them a Ness, watch, look how much I love you. And it burned for 8 days. Through that Ness, they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was watching all the time, and they recognized that the Milchama was Hashgacha, was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they thanked. Lahoidois means to recognize, and it means to thank, and to admit that it's all Hashem. And then after you Lahoidois, after you admit that it was Hashem Yisbarach, then you can be Lahalel and praise and thank Him that it's all Him. Now, when we see the Ness of Chanukah, to recognize Hashem, it came through the Ness that was noticeable, that nobody could argue, the Shemen. It was a Ness that was called a Ness Galui. Everybody could see it was a Ness, and nobody could argue with that Ness. And they recognized that Ribbono Shel Olam is there 100%, and it's all Him. When you Moisa Nefesh, then it's all Him. The Shemen cannot burn for 8 days because you Moisa Nefesh. There's no such thing. You can Moisa Nefesh as much as you want, and the Shemen will die out after a day. But Hashem showed him, yeah, I'll show you where I am. And it made it burn, and it's all Hashem. What they did then, that they were clever, and they realized that the Milchama was all Hashem, not them, not 50% me, 50% Hashem. No, it's all Hashem. That's the Hoidus of Halel. I recognize that it's all you. From that, the Ramban says, and everybody explains, that we're supposed to look and see how everything is Hashem. Everything, our shiduchim and our panose, and yes, even our suffering is all Hashem. The good that we have in life and the happy moments we have in life are not because we were clever. It's all Hashem. Al nisecho shebechol imimon, al nifle yisecho, v'ti nisecho shebechol eis. Girls, we're alive. I'm talking now, Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. This is not a recording. I'm talking alive to live people, you. And Baruch Hashem, your bodies are working, are functioning, you're able to go to the bathroom, you're able to eat and swallow, you're able to smile, you're able to wink and bat your eyelids. We're alive, Baruch Hashem. And we must think constantly, Lahoidus. And we must think once we Lahoidus that these things are alive because Hashem wants us to be alive. It's not what's called inertia, that, okay, we started off alive this morning, so it has to run like a car going down the hill. It started going down the hill, so it's by itself. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machaneh us all the time, and it's a Nes Nistar. It's a hidden Nes. And we're alive, and we must constantly Lahoidus. Not only Chanukah, but Chanukah has to wake us up that we're constantly alive because Hashem wants us to be, and then therefore we must be a Halel. David HaMelech said, Halel Hashem b'chayai, Ashiro Hashem b'chayai. I will constantly praise Hashem because I'm alive. Not only when the big things happen that I know, oh, there has to be Hashem. The small things are from Hashem, and the big things from Hashem. And the reason I'm bringing this out is not so much because of you. It's because I feel that I need to connect much more in my daily understanding of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. I feel personally that I don't connect enough in that area, and I want to try, well, maybe through you, by having to talk about it, that L'Hoydei Sul Halil, that this Hanukkah, I want to concentrate much more on L'Hoydei Sul Halil. How? When your father or husband or you, depends where and what you are, light the menorah for Hanukkah, you look at the candles and you think to yourself, she'osa nisim la'avisenu b'yomim hem b'zman hazeh, that just like then the nisim were in the milchama, which was nistar, it was hidden, the nes, because it wasn't kriyas yamsu. So too, the nisim that are happening b'zman hazeh, in my life, constantly, daily, that I have parnasa, that I have health, that I have happiness, I've got friends, I've got a family, each of you has to, you have to do this, learn from Hanukkah candles, from Hanukkah, from the Yom Tov, from the entire Yom Tov of Hanukkah. You say Halil every day, by the way, it's a Halil Shalem with the Broche, and if you didn't say it Shachris, you've got until Shkia to say it, to say Halil, and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're looking after me all the time. And connected to every ounce of suffering that you're having, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is counting every tear that you have, every hardship that you have, and he's sending it your way for a reason. Either, like I said, others can learn from you and it's worthwhile, or because we need to be cleaned, or because I need to get closer to him and ask more, and ask from a deeper heart, just like Rachel did, just like Yaakov did to have children for Rachel, just like Yitzchak and Rivka davened for many years to have children, Avram davened with sorrow for many years to have a child that all he looked forward to, and he davened and davened to have a child. He didn't give up and he didn't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you cruel. That's not our language that we use. It's in order for us to get close. And L'Hoydei Sul Halil is from in a beautiful aspect. It's not through Yisurim. It's a beautiful way of thinking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do so much for me in my life. I want to constantly feel it and see it. We all know that you take a fruit in your hand and you make a broche. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that fruit to eat and it's tasty. Think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, think. Don't just eat it. You're going to be having tons of sufganiyot on Hanukkah. Okay, I'm not talking about your weight issues, that's your problem. But thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you can enjoy and you can benefit and you can have nice things. The L'Hoydei Sul Halil is a constant thing that needs to be in our lives. And Hanukkah is a time to teach us. And Reb Chaim Friedlander in the Sifsei Chaim, he quotes, I think I'll be Dessel, I can't remember, I don't have in front of me now, saying that if you, as I said in the beginning of when I started talking this evening, when you light Hanukkah candles and you don't think the heart of L'Hoydei Sul Halil, it's an external action and it's not called Hanukkah candles. The Hanukkah candles come with L'Hoydei Sul Halil. And we need to think it and sing and praise and be happy about it. And we should all be Zoiche, all of you girls, the ones that are not engaged yet, to Bez Hashem find your zivug very soon. I can say that again with a knowledge and an understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. Obviously you know that in your mind, but Baruch Hashem, I experienced it, our family did experience it now on the highest level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing, and everything has a cheshbon, everything has a time with all the yisurim that lead up to it. And all you must do is to strengthen your kesher, your tefillis, your bitochen, fill your heart up with it. Don't give up and say, well, I've davened so many times, so therefore Hashem isn't listening, or it's not going to happen. On the contrary, a bigger connection can bring it more. And know that there's a cheshbon why things are happening, and fill your heart with love of Hashem. I know it's easy to say this, but we need to concentrate on it and work on it. And Hanukkah should, Be'ez Hashem, bring all of you a tremendous Yeshua and Brocha in everything you do, especially in the area of Shiduchim and Zivugim. And those of you that are married, Be'ez Hashem, should have a stronger Shonam Bayis and a happier home and a stronger home with a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, with a connection to your husband. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should yimalei kol mishaleh libchem letoivah.